The Bible, please turn John chapter 6. Verse 41. The Pastor Fisher going through Gospel of John chapter 6 as a communion service messages. I'm trying to continue his messages. Everything will be different with Pastor Fisher, but hopefully Holy Spirit work through my word, preaching his truth to you. Usually we don't have many visitors at evening service, so maybe we don't have a strong fence message around the table. Does not be needed, but always that fencing table message is helpful to us double check our heart and how we became to able to come to the table, and always that helps us to give thanks to God. So let's see the chapter 6 of Gospel of John, verse 41 through 51. The Jews then complained about him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur any among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophet, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Therefore, anyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your father ate the manna in the wilderness, and our dad, this is the bread which come down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time again. So we thank you for this evening service. So it's a help. It helps always to keep the Lord's Day, observe the Lord's Day holy for us. We ask your another blessing upon this evening service. I ask your blessing upon the sermon. So you speak the truth through this message. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So from the passages we just read, I would like you to think three things with me tonight. The first thing is the ones who Father draws to the table can partake of the Lord's Supper. And the second thing is only the ones who have the everlasting life can partake of Lord's Supper. And lastly, with faith, we eat the flesh of Christ to partake of this, the eternal life in him. So first thing is only the ones who Father draws to the table can partake of Lord's Supper. If you see the verse 41, says, the Jews then complain about him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." The Jews asked to see another sign from Jesus, and they brought an example of manna in the desert. However, Jesus told them, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." Christ didn't come to the world to give another manna, which was temporal food. In fact, the manna in the Old Testament foreshadowed the flesh of Christ. But manna made people hungry again, and it cannot give everlasting life. So Christ reminded the Jews about the manna's insufficiency and the sufficiency of Christ, who is the bread came down from heaven. In verse 42, the Jews didn't believe what Jesus said, and they said, Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, "I have come down from heaven"? It's not because the miracles of Jesus are not enough to make the Jews believe in him. It is because the Jews saw Jesus as a man, not God-man. They didn't see Son of God in Christ. They didn't see Son of God, but they only see Son of Joseph. However, Jesus, being the Son of God, took the form of a bondservant and came in the likeness of man because he obeyed the Father, because he loved his people. It is so sinful thing if man despised Jesus for that reason that he was born in flesh. Man's unbelieving Christ's deity is like repaying good with evil, because Jesus came to the world to solve the problem of man's sin. So Calvin said, Christ's incarnation was rather an illustrious proof of his boundless love toward us and of his wonderful grace. Man cannot love God unless he realizes that God loved him first. Then how we are sure about God's love toward us? From the Bible. 1 John 4:10 says, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. While we still hate God, he himself became the sacrificial offering to save us from our sin." This sacrifice proves the love of God toward us. When a husband sacrifices himself for his wife, his love toward the wife is proved. When a father sacrifices himself for his children, his love toward them is proved. Christianity is not a dead religion, but a living truth. It's not just a mere dead word, but the word became the flesh in real. And he dwells among us even now. Christ is a living truth. We are very unwilling to go down a lower place from our comfortable place. We can't imagine, we can't know enough how much God humbled him to take the form of bondservant in order to die on the cross. This is an example how you live in this world as sons and daughters of God. So are you all walking through the narrow path? Are you taking your own cross? Are you ready to hear from God, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Christ has the fullness of deity. However, including Jews and many who saw Jesus in person couldn't see the Son of God in Jesus. What's the reason? Jesus answered this question in verse 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Jews couldn't believe in Jesus not because the miracles are insufficient, but because the Father God didn't draw them to Jesus. Our faith in Jesus is given from God, so it is called gift. When Christ said in this verse, "draws," he means man is totally passive on his salvation. When Christ said, "no one can come," he means man is powerless on his salvation. I still remember when Dr. Better brought this Greek verb, alko, used as English word draws here, as an example of total depravity of man's soul, because the same Greek verb has used in different places in Scripture describing that a man draw a sword. So like a sword, man has no life, and he cannot move himself to the life from the darkness. Unless God draws a man, he cannot partake of Lord's Supper. God draws a man to Christ when he regenerates a man's heart with his spirit. With this changed heart, he is able to receive Christ with joy. If you see the verse 45, "It is written in the prophet, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, anyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." In here, Christ used Isaiah 54, verse 13. It says, "All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of our children." In Isaiah chapter 54, God promised that he will teach in person his children to bring them to him. That is God's covenant of peace with his people. All who God ordained to teach, he will come to him because God teaches them personally with his spirit. God makes us open our heart, eyes, and ears. So God leads us to obey the commandment of him. So the Alpha and Omega of our faith is in God. Then Christ let the Jews know that he was sent by Father God. Verse 46. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Only Jesus, the Son of God, has seen the Father because he is with God from the beginning. We believe the word of Jesus as God's word because he was from God and he is God. Therefore, unless you believe in Jesus and his word, you cannot know God. Unless you are taught by God, unless you are taught by Jesus with his word, you cannot come to him and neither to his table tonight. Because Father draws you by Christ, you are now able to partake Lord's Supper. The second thing I like to think about is only the ones who have the everlasting life can partake of Lord's Supper. It is because God cannot be with dead. After Jesus was resurrected, he had a breakfast with Peter and other disciples. However, there was no Judas, the betrayer, because he killed himself at the time. He was dead. Likewise, in heaven, there are only the living ones, but no dead ones. God is not the God of dead, but he is God of living. Therefore, only the ones who have everlasting life can partake of Lord's Supper. Then how do we receive the everlasting life? Do you have it? It is by faith alone. Verse 47, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Jesus said here that if you believe in Jesus, you already have everlasting life. Sin kills our body and souls. However, when you believe in Jesus, your soul receives life. Then you are not dead anymore, but living one. Then you have a qualification of access to the Lord's Supper, the supper provided by Lord, who is in heaven. It is the same qualification of access to the heaven. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The reason why the believers receive the everlasting life is because they receive Christ, who is the bread of life. So that's why he said, verse 48, I am the bread of life. Jesus compares him as bread giving the life, because bread represents food, which man cannot live without. Christ teaches that man perish without believing in him, just like man die without eating food. No matter how great food is, that cannot prevent the death of man. Probably the mysteriously greatest food in the world was manna in the wilderness. However, even manna couldn't give life to man. So verse 49, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. The Jews asked Christ for manna once again, but Christ changed their interest of food of flesh to food of spirit, which is Christ himself. Just like Christ changed the interest of a Samaritan woman of physical water to the living water, which will make her never thirst again. Christ is the only food and water that man can receive everlasting life from. In order not to die, in order to live forever, you need to eat bread of life, and the bread comes down from heaven. So verse 50, this is the bread which comes down heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. Of course, the bread which comes down from heaven is Jesus Christ himself. He is the one came down from heaven to the world in order to give life to you, the salvation from the sin. He was sent by God the Father, who has ordained this plan of man's salvation from the beginning of the world. God gave us the victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ. So John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So now Christians are not afraid anymore of death, because they will not be judged by their words and deeds before the throne of God, but by righteousness of Christ, perfect and obedient life. Christians are not afraid anymore of the death because they will be bodily resurrected in life. Just like Jesus Christ died for our sins, but he rose again in third day according to the scripture. We believe these all because Jesus is the first fruit of resurrection, and we will follow his way. Therefore, the only way that sinners can receive the everlasting life of soul and body is receiving the Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Only the ones who have the everlasting life can partake of the Lord's Supper. Lastly, I'd like to share from these passages. With faith, we eat the flesh of Christ to partake of the eternal life in him. We need to know the relationship between receiving the everlasting life through our faith and receiving the everlasting life by eating the bread of life. So verse 51, Christ says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Let me read again. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." So Christ says that he is the living bread, and his flesh will give the life, so that anyone eats of it will live forever. Remember, he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He gave up his life on the cross for man's sin. This is the only way to satisfy the perfect justice of God. Man made the problems of sins, but God solves it. We all die at one point. After then, our flesh will start to decompose. Our flesh cannot become younger. But as time goes, as day passes, we all get close to the death. Our flesh gets more wrinkles and loses its vitality. We see our death is real and coming when we see our flesh is getting old. In the same way, the flesh of Jesus Christ represents his everlasting life, because after his bodily resurrection, Christ still lives and will live forever. His resurrected flesh will never decompose, but the glorious body is same as the day of resurrection. So Calvin said, "For as the eternal word of God is the fountain of life, so his flesh as a channel conveys to us the life which dwells intrinsically in his divinity." So his flesh is a channel that gives the everlasting life to man. So we eat the flesh of Christ to partake of his eternal life. However, without genuine faith of these truths, No one will get any good out of the Lord's Supper. Don't forget the Judas, the betrayer, also was at the first Lord's Supper at the night when Christ called. So Calvin said again, whenever Christ used the word eat, he exhorts us to faith, which alone enables us enjoy this bread so as to derive life from it. So when Christ said, eat my flesh, it means believe my death for your sin. Therefore, the only ones who believe in Christ can partake of his flesh and have benefits. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of Passover in Exodus. The blood of Passover lamb was the blood of Christ, which the Jews put on the two doorposts and on the lintel of house where God's judgment Passover. The meat of Passover lamb was the flesh of Christ, which the Jews roasted in fire and ate in one house without breaking any one of its bones. So Exodus 12:14 says, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. So the Passover is an everlasting ordinance. Only its form has been changed. The Passover has foreshadowed the atonement of Christ on the cross until it happens. With the Lord's Supper, we remember the fulfillment of Christ's atonement on the cross until Christ comes again at the end of the world. Then the same saints will continue the same feast with the same Lord at the new heaven and new earth eternally. Therefore, ones who do not have eternal life cannot partake of the Lord's Supper, because God is not the God of dead, but God of living. So as a conclusion, the incarnation of Christ, the atonement on the cross, is amazing God's grace and power. Without the grace of God, he has no reason to forgive man's sin. Without the power, there is no way to wash away once for all of man's uncountable sins in heart, words, and deeds. At Lord's table, we can also see God's wisdom, because the spiritual benefit will not be given imprudently to anybody. The power of salvation will not be given to those who don't repent their sins and don't have any relationship with Christ. The salvation and the eternal life will be given to those who believe in Christ as their Lord and Savior. So tonight, I encourage you, all of you, to think about the grace and power and wisdom of God shown at the Lord's table, and to be ready to partake of the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, so we can have confidence of your truth. Father, I ask your blessing upon every man's heart, so all of us can be ready to partake your body and blood. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.